Well, so what if a dollar crash were to happen? What about American democratic socialism? What if that takes root? Today I talked to Crown Ministry CEO Chuck Bentley about what he calls gray swans. They're trends that could change everything. Who knows if or when these events take place? The bigger question, do you have an investment strategy that protects and grows your money during a time of crisis? That is what I do as a money manager. If you want to talk further, and I would love to have a conversation with you, send us an email at info@prudentmoney.com. Well, I hope you enjoy this episode of Prudent Money. Keep the faith.
Of Love Never Fails, heard daily on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR Decatur, Dallas-Fort Worth, and on 91.3 KYJC Commerce.
Portions of KDKR programming do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or staff.
Prudent Money with Bob Brooks is sponsored by the Prudent Money Foundation on 91.3.
Well, seven gray swans continue. Today we're going to take a look. Stay tuned for Prudent Money. And you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know I do appreciate it. I'm waiting on Chuck Bentley to come on the program and talk a little bit about some trends from his book that we've been talking about the last couple of times. Just haven't gotten through the whole thing yet. There's a lot of information there that you really need to know. Let's see here. I think Chris, you're probably Chris is runs the board for me, and I think you have to call him to bring him on. So, well, Chuck will be on in just a few seconds. So, because a couple of ways to get information if you have a question, and you need to get an answer, you can go to the website at www.prudentmoney.com. When you get to the website, there's a couple of ways to get information. The first one is through the Ask Bob section, which most people are familiar with. And that is where you can send an email in and ask a question, and we can get you taken care of. If it's a little bit more of a difficult situation, more moving parts, then the situation warrants a little bit more time, you can go ahead and schedule a phone call. My calendar's right there, and get that taken care of. And we'll talk through your situation and get it taken care of. So that's all at the website, www.prudentmoney.com. Well, it looks like we're having some difficulty getting Chuck on today. So, live radio, you got to keep going. And we've been talking about the term gray swan. And gray swan is something, is you've probably heard of what a black swan is, but a gray swan is something that people are talking about. It's a trend that you could see. It's an event that you could see taking place. So, for instance, all of a sudden waking up one day and finding out that the dollar has crashed, that would definitely be a gray swan. That's something that we talk a lot about. That's something that we watch and watch the trends and make sure it doesn't happen. I mean, watch it and make sure that we're staying on top of things. That's a gray swan. A black swan is something that really, if you're going by the investment definition, it's something that catches everybody off guard. It happens, and it's a surprise, and nobody was expecting it. I was watching CNBC the other day, and they were talking about this situation with Iran attacking Israel, and how it was a black swan. Well, it really wasn't a black swan. If you're plugged into some of the news resources, probably the news resources that you don't go to, that you're not aware of, but news resources, you'd find that this has been in a lot of circles has been discussed over and over and over again, that this could possibly happen. Now, maybe you could say that as dramatic as it was, sending that many drones and missiles into Israel was a little unexpected. But as far as the attack goes, there was a lot of people. In fact, there was one analyst that I've watched and listened to for a long time, read his work, and he actually predicted it that would happen, and predicted it would happen on over the weekend, which is pretty wild. So, you know, this was a little bit more of a gray swan event. So now the markets are watching this real carefully. And there's a couple of things that the market is watching. The first one is, of course, the retaliation by Israel. And there is a lot of speculation of what that looks like. I think that, you know, you can argue it two different ways. The first way is that it's going to be dramatic. And then second, it's going to be something that's not as dramatic. Chuck Finley, I think, is with me right now. Hey, Chuck, are you on the line?
Yeah, Bob, I had technical difficulties. So sorry. I'm happy to join you.
I'm happy you're here, too. So how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great. I'm excited to jump into the Seven Gray Swans with you today.
I was just talking about a little bit ago that I think it was on CNBC. I was watching a debate go on, and this guy goes, "No, it was definitely a black swan." They were calling the attack of Iran on Israel, and I thought to myself, you know, a black swan is something nobody expected. There was a lot of expectation that this was going to happen. I don't know if you were reading it in your circles or not. There was definitely a lot of chatter that this was definitely on that could happen, and more of a gray swan event. What was your call on it?
Well, definitely, they knew 48 hours in advance that it was coming, and they pinpointed the arrival of the attack almost to the hour. So that's definitely a gray swan. A gray swan is something that is possible to happen, but you tend to ignore it because it's a low probability, and certainly, it had never happened in history that Iran had directly confronted Israel like that. So I can see where people would say, you know, it was unexpected. But intelligence agencies knew it was coming, so it was definitely gray. And Israel was obviously ready.
So what do you make of this attack, and what kind of the next things that transpire? What have you been reading? What have you come up with?
Well, I think everybody is waiting for the response by Israel. What are they going to do, and will it be a measured response? Will it be equivalent to what they experienced? They have said publicly that it will be. Now, there's been some jokes going around that it was a non-event. Some people even accused it of being a save-face event. You know, they didn't go in with ground troops. They didn't drop a nuclear weapon. They didn't put, high-speed airplanes over, carpet bombing over Israel. They flew some drones, and obviously there were some other parts of the attack that were more serious. But, the U.S. Secretary of State had to come out and say, no, it was a real attack. This wasn't phony. This was a real thing. And so hopefully Israel shows constraint. And I'm not saying they shouldn't respond. I just think if they respond in an equivalent manner, it's going to calm some of the nerves. And the nerves right now are around World War III. Is this going to be a never-ending exchange of retaliation? And it just cycles and continues to spin out of control. That's what everyone is wanting to see put to bed. And I think there's a chance it's going to be put to bed. Bob, I have a little more optimism about it today than I did when it first happened.
Yeah, so if you were writing your book today, would you put to World War III in the book as a gray swan?
Yes, because it's something that there's a probability of. I think it's a low probability, and we don't expect it to happen. We don't want it to happen, but yes, I'm getting World War III questions all the time. Now, the thing about a gray swan is nobody knows. You can't really predict them either. You can just see that they're a potential danger, and that's why we need to be aware of them and try to respond prudently, to use the term that you use to identify your professional practice. You want people to be prudent with money. And Bob, I love the definition of prudence. It means you're not reactionary. You're not just responding spontaneously and without measured thought. But it also means you're not paralyzed by fear, where you're a victim of your circumstances. So it's a great word. It's a Bible word, and it's what we need during times like this. I'm doing an interview tomorrow with people in Eastern Europe, and they have a 2 or 3 year outlook that they could be at war with Russia. And they want to know, what are my thoughts about that? And my thoughts are, be prudent, like the Lord said.
This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know I do appreciate it. Chuck Bentley is in the program today, and we're talking about, actually this will be our last program to talk about his book, Seven Gray Swans. And Chuck, 4 years ago now that you've written the book?
Well, I need to remember that. Surely we haven't been talking about it for 4 years, have we, Bob?
I think it has been.
Wow. I wrote the book. I'm just looking in the front of it to see what year we put in there. I believe that it was
4 years
before COVID. Because
2020.
Sure was, because COVID wasn't included.
We'll give you 3 years. How about that?
But, yeah, that'll be great.
The book, though, is, I think, an extremely important book to read for reasons that you need to stay up on what's going on, what trends are saying could happen. And being prepared is very, very important in that respect. If you want more information, go to crown.org, and you can get more information on the book. Let's start in with the last couple of gray swans that you had talked that you wrote about in the book. What is American democratic socialism?
Well, it's a way that we try to make the term socialism palatable. We add that modifier to it to say we're going to have a democratic socialistic process, meaning we're going to allow people to participate in those decisions. But it's a little bit of an oxymoron, because socialism basically means a state-controlled or a state-regulated economy. And when you centralize economic decisions, it's really not a democratic process. But that's the term that's sort of modified to try to make it more palatable to the American public.
You know, it would seem to me that this type of socialism would have to really establish a stronghold and provide a foundation for the other trends to really start to come alive. How do you feel about that?
I do think they're interrelated, Bob. And when I was writing the book, I didn't see that myself. But when you put it all together, you see so much of it stems from that shift in our culture. Should the government begin to take over more and more of the economy, to exercise less of a democratic process and more of an authoritarian approach, more of a central planning approach to the way we're governed and the way the economy is impacted, we become much more vulnerable to all these other gray swans. You're exactly right.
So let's talk a little bit about the timeline. I'd be interested in your thoughts on this. Where do you speculate, and that's the word we'd have to use, we are on that path to where if zero is no socialism at all, and 10 is full blown socialism, where do you think we fall on that path?
Well, I think you have to look at some of the surveys, and it starts with younger people. The people who have fought for freedom in this country are veterans. Typically, stand strong for a democratic capitalism. But young people who've been in the academic system and been told that capitalism is evil and that wealth is only held by greedy people, and they've been painted with this brush that socialism is a fair and equitable way, and even young Christians are being told that socialism is the way of Jesus. It's absolutely not. But there's a lot of up-and-coming believers in socialism, and we're currently trending towards about 45% in our country that would vote for a socialist president. So we're not far away from that being a majority view in the country. And I think that either one of two things are going to happen. Either the pain is going to cause a reversal sooner than later, or people are going to push forward and say, we must try it. It's the fair thing to do. It's the just thing to do. And we will go down that road. And, you know, Lord willing, we will turn back from that road because of the pain that it will create.
You know, I would be, I saw that statistic in your book, and I just couldn't believe that 45, and then it was interesting, Chuck, if you think about it, that was probably a 2019 or 2018 statistic, that 45% would vote for a president who was a socialist. So I would bet that that's a much greater percentage today, and that is very disturbing. That's a real shift in the thought process of America.
Well, no doubt about it, but you only have to go on a college campus to realize that that's where it's coming from. It's coming from academia, and they believe that they're doing, you know, they're re-educating our young people to believe that this is a superior system. And so we don't need to look at them as evil as much as we need to look at them as uninformed. Because it doesn't take much economic research to realize that socialism fails. It destroys economies. It hurts people. It creates a system where government picks winners and losers. And if you're on the wrong side of the political spectrum of those in charge, then you're going to be the loser. And so it'd be really hard for me to want to vote that in under any circumstance.
You did a great job in the book of relating these seven gray swans to the Bible. So what does the Bible say about socialism?
Well, it says a lot about it, because if you study the history of Karl Marx, when he rolled out his philosophy of government ownership of all property and saying that the government would be a fair and equitable distributor of property to show people, you know, that we would all share and get along, that the people who opposed him were Christians, because they believed in private ownership of property. And the Bible teaches that private ownership is good and personal responsibility for our possessions is good. That's the beginning of stewardship. And so atheism and communism became two sides of the same coin, because he had to have a worldview to oppose the Christian worldview. He had to try to shut them down so that they would stop opposing him from taking control of private property. And the Bible clearly supports a meritocracy. And that's why the 10th commandment says we should not covet. And the biggest coveters in the world are governments. They're the ones wanting what somebody else
so
has.
True.
And they put all sorts of legislation forward, whether it's taxes or policies that allow them to take a bigger bite out of the apple, a bigger share of the corporate profits. That's what coveting looks like.
Let's talk about the last gray swan that you write about in the book, and this is just something I really can't even get my arms around: social scoring and biometric ID. Talk about what's going on with that.
Well, it's happening I'm just out in full view in China, and then it's on its way in India right now. And what that does is gives a central database where everybody in the population is under the surveillance of the government. And every decision you make, whether it's buying a ticket to leave the country or entering a federal building or receiving a federal benefit, even the money you spend can be monitored by the government. And what they've done is rolled a credit score into another dimension called the social credit score. And basically it means if you are critical of the government, then your credit availability goes down and your freedoms are restricted. And they can decide where you go and what you do and how much money you can have access to. It's a complete Orwellian nightmare. And it's a gray swan because we think, oh, well, that would never happen here. But it's underway right now, Bob. Those things are underway. I don't know if you've been in a situation where some of the technology we use, not only can you vote how you liked the service you provided, but the service provider can vote whether they liked providing the service for you. And you can be locked out of some of these services. And that's happening on a private corporate level. And so it's not a big leap to think it can happen, you know, at the federal level or even a global level where we're all subject to government surveillance.
You know, I was thinking about that because there's kind of lighter forms of it. But to go full blast what's going on in China and other countries, what do you think would have to happen in our country to accept this as a way of life? I mean, I could see some very defiant people who would probably attempt not to participate.
Yeah, well, God bless them. And I would be one of them. I would hope that we would be able to see it coming and stand for freedom. What's scary about it is it's typically presented as a convenient, useful a way to solve another problem like crime. There is an argument that if everybody is in a common database, you can sort out the bad guys. And they don't get on airplanes, and they can't steal money, and they can't get away with drug dealing. And so where we have to be discerning is to be sure we don't fall for the benefits of it without seeing the downside. And it will always be sold to us as something good. So that's one way we would fall for it. And the other is just in some sort of cataclysmic disorder where people ask for it, where they think, all right, restore order. This chaos is killing us. The pandemic is an example when the government wanted to exert authoritarian control over our freedoms, and it was sold to us as this is a good thing. We've got to control the spread of this virus. So it's easy to see how people could vote it in, and how they could turn against one another and say, you know, you're the bad guy because you don't want in the system. You're the rebel. You're the troublemaker.
You know, let's actually, the last one that you wrote about was the risk of cybersecurity. A question on a much higher level would be, you know, fragile network security, will it protect us in an interconnected world? I think this is something that a lot of people just don't really think about, don't really consider. I mean, it's amazing. It's like you have cyber attacks going on all around you, and people don't even know it. And on big scales, when you went back, you know, 5 to 10 years ago, if there was a big cyber attack, you knew about it. And probably this one out of the seven gray swans, this one probably concerns me the most, because I think it's more of something that could happen easier, obviously.
Well, a month ago, 73 million people had their data breached that are AT&T clients. You know, that's what, a fifth of the U.S. population.
Right.
And it's so bad now that the experts are saying fraudsters probably have all of your personal information.
Well, you just have to do the numbers.
It's, yeah. Well, it's not just AT&T, it's just over and over and over. Right. We're seeing data breaches and failures. And so the question is, what do we do when there's so many fragile networks? And there are services now to help you. Like, we use two-factor authentication all the time. It drives me crazy, but I try to log
Doesn't it, though?
You know, yeah, and then they have to text you a number to get in, a second layer. But that's one way to protect against the fraudsters. But we're seeing that we depend on the Internet to be up, Bob. And when there's an outage of the Internet, when there's an outage of, the mobile service, our lives don't function well. And so we have to recognize that we need to be careful not to become fully dependent upon these networks and to see that as a gray swan.
This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know I do appreciate it. If you want more information on Chuck's book, crown.org is where you go. So as we wrap this up, Chuck, given the uncertainty of the future, what are some steps that people can take to strengthen themselves financially? Because obviously any of these, most of what you write about in the book really can have a big financial impact on people.
Well, I don't recommend that people get fearful and start making a plan to hunker in the bunker or to flee. I think we can sort of weather-proof or storm-proof our finances. We can increase our capacity to go through hard times. We can stop living on the financial edge. We can diversify. I think it's good to own some gold. And, gold has been doing quite well in the last few months.
It really has been.
And get free of debt, get free of encumbrances so that you have some liquidity and you're not vulnerable to some cataclysmic shift and loss, because you've diversified and you've been prepared in advance. I also think when you just recognize the world's philosophies are the ones that take people down these roads, you can start to become wise and compare everything to God's word so that you recognize that something people don't appreciate is that freedom of religion is the mother of all other freedoms. And the freedom to go to church and to worship, it gives birth to all of the freedoms we enjoy. And even Richard Dawkins, the outspoken atheist in Europe, is saying he's longing for the return of cultural Christianity because it was so good for their society, and they're losing that. And so just living contrary to the world and loving God and upholding his principles, being committed to his truth, that's the best protection we can have.
Well, well said, Chuck. I mean, it's at the end of the book, it's about stewardship, if you really think about it. And great, great words. Once again, the book, Seven Gray Swans, quick read, important read. You can find that book at crown.org. And always great to talk to you, Chuck. Look forward to talking to you next month.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate your flexibility today.
No problem. This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. If you got a question for me, please go to the website at prudentmoney.com and send it in, because we are all out of time. Till we do meet again next time, keep the faith and have a great rest of the day.
That's all the time we have for today. Questions or comments for Bob, or to find out more great information like what you've just heard, visit www.prudentmoney.com. Be sure to join Bob Brooks again for the next edition of Prudent Money.